Pogerbeller. Senator Pogerbeller.
Mr. President, I move the further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is a pastor, Paul Harrington, from the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Apple Valley.
Thank you for the privilege of being here. Good morning to all of you. As the psalmist reminds us, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it if you'll join me in these words of invocation. Good and gracious God, we pause at the start of this new day to once again acknowledge you as the author and giver of life and of all good things. That the very breath that we draw at this moment is a gift from you. That the strength in the muscles of our body that brought us here today is a gift from you. That the cognitive skills of our minds, which make possible communication, is a gift from you. And may we never forget that. Fill our hearts this day with an attitude of gratitude which will spill out into every area of our lives and make us a truly thankful and a caring people. And in a world that sometimes seems so filled with fear, may we continue to find hope and comfort and strength in you. Grant us this day your peace and your power and your presence. And as we gather again to do the work of governance, we remember again the words of Micah to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with you and with all of those whom you have called us to serve. So, living Lord, in a land so filled with goodness and blessing, may we be ever vigilant in hearing the cries of the poor and the sick and the oppressed, the lost and the lonely. Help us to believe that as we have done it unto the least of one of these, we have done it as unto you. Give us today the gifts of wisdom and discernment and compassion and integrity, that we may continue to move our fair state forward in ways that are pleasing to you and a benefit to all who reside in our land. Lord, you have blessed us to be a blessing to others. Help us to live out this high and holy calling in all that we do. For all these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant them, O God, for we have prayed with hope and confidence in your strong and holy and everlasting name. Amen.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Good message.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jim.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebretson, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummerl, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, Wieger.
Quorum is present. The first order of business this morning will be messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate files 3474, 2930, 2024, 2377, 2399, 2828, 3225, 3286, 2936, 3021, and 3647, and also 3571. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. Okay.
Okay, we have a pardon. There's a message.
The next message is on Senate File 2642, Senator Bois. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2642, a bill for an act relating to data practices, modifying provisions of the SAFE at Home program. Senate File 2642 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, let me remind the senators that there will be a few votes being taken here in the next probably 10 or 15 minutes. Senator Moi.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House and Senate File 2642 and that the bill be placed in its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator, tell us what the bill does and what the changes that were made.
Members, Senate File 2642 is my Safe at Home bill. You may recall that I brought it to the floor to ask us to help make it easier for people to get their driver's licenses without putting their P.O. box, being able to put their P.O. box address on there. There was also additional language giving the Secretary of State opportunity to share the data with law enforcement as needed. So the language was modified in the House to clarify that the information would be available without putting the Secretary of State's office in the position to decide when that would be appropriate. It just makes it absolutely clear that the data would be available to law enforcement. There was also a second amendment to add a reporting requirement so that as the Secretary of State implements the program, they will report to the various committees that have jurisdiction over the program, both in the House and the Senate, and the leading minority members. Those are the two changes to the program.
Okay, Senator Moi renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2642 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. Senator Limmer, discussion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Moi, the question I have is on some new language that was submitted into the bill. I'm afraid I don't have the line and page, but it makes reference to a Secretary of State shall annually report to the chairs of legislative committees over the government of data practices and public safety. And I would just like to remind the members, the ranking members of the minority caucus is usually referenced in language like this, and I see that it's been omitted. And would hope that maybe as a reminder we could continue to following that new tradition of letting all of the legislative ranking and chair people know what's going on in government.
Senator Moi.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, being the ranking minority member on the Judiciary Committee, you are a very valuable member to the committee. And it's my fault for misstating it, but it is an amendment from the other body. As we know, they are imperfect in their workings, and we shall correct that. If you will give me an opportunity to move this forward, we'll find an opportunity to correct that.
Senator Limmer, okay, you're satisfied. Okay, all in favor of Senator Moi's motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give Senate File 2642 its third reading.
Senate File 2642, a bill for an act relating to data practices, modifying provisions of the Safe at Home program.
Okay, before the vote, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Moi, being the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, when you get that coveted report, could you send me a copy of it or whoever would be in that minority ranking position when that report happens? I know we would appreciate that.
Senator Moi.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, of course I will send it to you. And I authored the end of the session corrections bill, and so I will attempt to make that correction in that bill. Thank you, Senator Limmer.
Instead of sending it, why don't you hand deliver it to Mr. Limmer? Secretary will take the roll on the bill.
Thank you.
All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill. Okay. Mikey, why don't you read it first?
Next message is on Senate File 3263, Senator Pretner Solon. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file, as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 3263, a bill for an act relating to health, permitting hospital records to be transferred to electronic image. Senate File 3263 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 3263 and that the bill be passed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Pretner Solon, give the body a brief description of the bill and what changes took place.
Yes, Mr. President and members, this was a brief bill that was brought to me by the hospitals that allows medical records to be stored by electronic image. It saves the hospitals a significant amount of money. What happened in the House is that they added another bill, which is the same as Senate File 3332, which is on the floor, number 13 on general orders right now, Senator Carlson's bill. This is a bill that was required because last year when some transportation provisions were adopted, it inadvertently took away the privilege of a firefighter to be carried her remains to be carried to the cemetery on a fire truck. So this language is being readopted. I ask for your support.
Discussion that Senator Pretner Solon renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments of the House to Senate File 3263 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Secretary will give Senate File 3263 its third reading.
Senate File 3263, a bill for an act relating to health, permitting hospital records to be transferred to electronic image, changing provisions for advance directive and will of decedent regarding transport of body to place of final disposition.
Secretary will take the roll on the bill. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes, 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Is she going to set up a conference? Oh.
The next message is on Senate File 2605, Senator Saltzman. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2605, a bill for an act relating to the Metropolitan Council, providing for staggered terms of the Metropolitan Council members. Senate File 2605 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Saltzman.
Yes. And Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur with the amendments by the House to Senate File 2605 and then a conference committee of three be appointed by the subcommittees on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Paul. Next message is on Senate File 2390, Senator Betzold. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2390, a bill for an act relating to consumer protection, modifying restrictions on the collection and use of Social Security numbers. Senate File 2390 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2390 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee on appointed on the part of the House.
Okay, on the Betzel motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. You're doing that, Corey, now?
Next message is on Senate File 2368, Senator Corey. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2368, a bill for an act relating to human services, requiring the commissioner to notify the legislature prior to the closure or transfer of an enterprise activity. Senate File 2368 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Corey.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2368 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Olson.
Next message is on Senate File 3235, Senator Olson M. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 3235, a bill for an act relating to data practices, classifying data, and authorizing data sharing. Senate File 3235 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 3235 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion by Senator Olson, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Next message is on House File 3477, Senator Marty. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File 3477, a bill for an act relating to manufactured housing, providing for regulation of lending practices and default. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of three members be appointed thereon. Representatives Gardner, Davney, and Burns have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File 3477 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I move the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 3477 and a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the Senator Marty motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted, House File 3577, signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, the next order of business is first reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection. First reading of House bills. The next order of business is reports of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is the second reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. Under motions, without objection, we'll take up the Senate bill introductions. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Now we go to calendar. Senator Pogemiller, is it time to go to the calendar? Would you like to do that?
Yes, Mr. President, and would like to do number one on the calendar and then waive the at appropriate. Oh, one's out for comparison. So, Mr. President, I'd move that under motions the Senate take up the calendar.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. President, I'd like to move to waive the lie-over for number four on the calendar. That would be the only one we would do today, the education bill.
Okay, on that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Okay, we're doing number four on the Senate calendar. Third reading.
Senate File 3001, a bill for an act relating to education, providing for pre-kindergarten through grade 12 education, including general education, education excellence, special programs, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
I think we're all right. Which is the one I called you about? Oh, that's probably the one down here. I didn't see. That's it?
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. Probably. I think.
And he is going to sign it tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you, Payne Weber.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 47 ayes and 17 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, remaining on orders of business of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate now take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President. Members, there's I'd like to designate general orders number one. There are one, two, three, four, five bills on there. And I would like to move, Mr. President, on Senate file 3683. To waive the lie-over, that's the omnibus ag bill, to waive the lie-over on general orders.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I would yield to Senator Pappas.
Okay, the first bill on general orders, number 57 on general orders, Senate file 651. This is a Senator Pappas bill. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. There's been a lot of coverage in the newspaper lately about the hundreds of chemicals that we're exposed to every day. And what this bill does is it just goes after one of those chemicals. It's called DECA-BDE. But it's a particularly problematic chemical as it widely pollutes and persists in Minnesota's environment. including the fish we eat, and it accumulates in our bodies, including in breast milk. The bill focuses on preventing exposure in our homes, so it's very narrow. It's a limited ban on the use of DECA in electronic equipment and textiles and mattresses that are used in the home. Other uses in transportation or wire or cable are not included. Partly they're not included because they are fully encased. It's the situation where the chemical can slough off into the environment that's a problem. We also do provide in the legislation an exemption and a process through MPCA to apply for that exemption while this ban is being phased in. DECA gets into household dust, and it exposes young children who crawl on carpets and put their fingers in their mouths. Because DECA is a brain toxin, young children are the group we're most concerned about. The legislation is about public health protection. We don't need to continue to take a chance on causing harm to developing children when safer alternatives as flame retardants are already available and being used by the majority of computer companies and TV manufacturers. While leading companies are already phasing out DECA and electronics, we have a proposed 2012 implementation date, and that was moved up in committee from 2010, and that will give smaller companies more time to comply. This bill will help Minnesota consumers be able to shop for a new TV, and a lot of us will be doing that, and know that it does not contain a persistent toxic chemical. Minnesota consumers deserve safe products. Last year, we considered this bill, and we passed out a phase out of two other toxic chemicals, Penta and Octa. But we did require the PCA to research, to take a look at all the research that's out there and report back, which they did. They have now verified that DECA is causing widespread pollution in Minnesota. DECA has been detected in house dust, sediments, sewage sludge, fish, birds, and in human breast milk, fat and blood, and the levels of DECA are increasing. As I mentioned, nursing infants and young children have the highest intake of PBDEs, including DECA. The bill also authorizes the commission to grant a waiver, as I mentioned, if no alternative is found for a particular application, and it authorizes the commissioner to participate in a multi-state clearinghouse. Thank you very much for your support.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President, members, and I actually urge you to vote against this bill. It's kind of interesting in terms of chemistry, and I'll keep it really short, but dichlorobromodiphenyl ether is actually the most stable of all of these compounds. It is also the most researched of all of these compounds, and all of the research that I've read on it shows that it's largely resistive to any kind of environmental degradation, meaning it stays together. And that actually flies in the face of most research you see on long-chain compounds, such as perfluorinated chemicals. Perfluorinated chemicals actually work the opposite way, members, where the longer the chain, the more detrimental it is, the higher risk it is in terms of a bioaccumulative toxin. It's opposite when it's the PBDEs, the lower the chain, the quicker they break down in the environment and they become much more toxic. So members, in simple terms, this is the most stable of these. And I don't know why we're not trying to ban the ones that are lower chains, because they are actually proven scientifically to be much stronger bioaccumulative toxins. And I would actually support legislation on some of the least of these as opposed to the DECA. Thanks, members.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Youngbauer, I think I have an amendment that will maybe help you with this bill and maybe alleviate your fears. It's the A52 amendment.
So I think we'll back up a little bit. Senator Pappas, you have a motion to make that when this committee do arise.
I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 651 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Now,
Mr. Chairman, I have the A52 amendment.
Secretary We'll report the Tomasoni A52 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend Senate File 651 as follows. Page 2 after line 33, insert. This is amendment A52.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the A52 amendment, I think, is okay with Senator Pappas, and I think it should leave any fears as to whether or not we're doing something prematurely. It basically just says that the Commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency should consult with the Commissioner of the Department of Health and Commerce and the State Fire Marshals and Fire Chiefs to make sure that there's an alternative here. And it lists some uses that the alternative could be used for. And in addition, if they find that they can't find one, then there will be a prohibition will be deleted. And, I know they are doing this out in Washington State, and I know they're coming back with an assessment. So there's a possibility that when they come back with the assessment, this could even be a moot point if they do find one in Washington State. So I think this amendment is a pretty good compromise, and I appreciate your support.
Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman and members, I support the amendment.
Okay, further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all. Senator Jungbauer on the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I also support the amendment, and that is one of the problems. If we don't have suitable alternatives and when we don't know all the science, and again, going back to perfluorinated chemicals, the alternatives that are out there today, we actually don't know that they're any safer than the perfluorinated chemicals themselves, so this is a good amendment.
Okay, on the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Further discussion, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief response to Senator Jungbauer's earlier comments. His concerns about the science were the very reason that we had the PCA take a look at all the reports and then summarize and give a report back to us. And in their report, they do say that animal studies have associated DECA with an array of health effects, including effects on liver and thyroid and reproductive, developmental, and neurological problems. And about 5% of people carry body burdens that approach the concentrations at which adverse effects are seen in laboratory animals, and that's a concern. So the EU has now unequivocally banned DECA, and the states around us, but the United States, one by one, are banning DECA. The most recent has been New York. So there are alternatives available now, but in case there may be an application that we're not aware of where there isn't an alternative, that's where Senator Tomasoni's amendment is helpful.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Pappas renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 651 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now the next bill on general orders, number 66 on general orders, Senate File 3683. This is a Senator Vickerman bill. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that this committee do arise that Senate File 3683 be recommended to pass.
Senator Vickerman, description of the bill.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I will briefly through the bill. It's the omnibus policy bill for agriculture and veterans, and there's quite a few sections, and I will just highlight them. Section 1 is a livestock expansion grant, and that's from Senator Scogin. Section 2 is prohibited pesticide use, and that is from Senator Sieben. Section 3 is the anhydrous ammonia tank, and that's from Senator Kubley. Section 4 is agriculture chemical permit license revocation and suspension. That's the bill that I carried. Section 5 is agriculture chemical response and reimbursement account. That's from Senator Lurie's bill. Section 14 is a food law change carried by Senator Lurie and also Senator Dill. Section 15 is a control of bovine tuberculosis. That's Senator Scores. Section 16 and 51 are the next gen board bill that I carried. Section 17 is Agriculture Leadership Council extension. I carried that bill myself. Section 18 to 25 is the Animal Chiropractic Bill carried by Senator Kubley. Section 26 to 40 is the Board of Veterinary Medicines, as carried by Senator Deal, and the Pyle-Patrick part of it is Senator Kublis. Section 41, 42, and 53 to 58 of the biodiesel content mandates are from the bill that I carried. Section 43 to 49 and 52 are open space preservation by Senator Dill, and agriculture best management practices from the bill that I carried. Article 2 is the Veterans and Military Affairs. Section 1 to 3 is a motorcycle plates for veterans, bill that I carried. Section 4 is World War II Memorial Donation Match Accounts, also a bill that I carried. Section 5, 6, 9, 10, and 15, and 16 are the Veterans Home Board of Directors abolished and powers transferred to the Veterans Affairs, carried by Senator Robes. Section 7 and 11, Veterans Health Care Advisory Council, is Senator Erickson Robes' bill. Section 8 and 13, State Cemetery, is from Senator Petron Solans. Section 12 is World War II service medallions offered by Senator Kubley. And Section 14 is a plaque authorized, is from Senator Torres Ray, and we presented that to the governor on April 7th. He signed the bill. Now, Mr. President, members of the Senate, I would like to skip back to a little bit of the agricultural part of it, and that has to do with B20 biodiesel. Biofuels, including biodiesel, have a number of public benefits. I know you've seen a lot of reports in the paper that some kind of contrary to that, but what biofuels provide an environmental benefit because they reduce air pollution by reducing carbon emissions and air particulates. Biofuels also have a national security benefit in that they can reduce our country's dependence on oil imports from the Mideast. And biofuels have an economic benefit for Minnesota because it strengthens our rural economy. An estimate from the Ag Department, it creates 18,461 jobs and $4.95 billion in economic impact. And biodiesel is a win-win proposal for our environment and for our economy. It has the support of Minnesota Farmers Organizations, Minnesota Trucking Association, environmental groups, and not to mention, as you can see, I passed the handout, it also is supported by both the governor and President of the United States. President, there's two or three amendments, and I don't know who wants to start first. Senator Rest, I think, has an amendment. We'll start with hers.
Secretary will report the rest. Senator Rest. A50.
Yeah, Chairman, I have the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Ress moves to amend Senate File 3683 as follows. Page 30 after line 8, insert. This is Amendment A50.
Senator Ress, discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, the A50 amendment deals with the permission to the Northern Track for all-breed simulcasting. As you know, the Senate dealt with this proposal some weeks ago, and since that time there have been a lot of bills that the Senate has passed, and the House is getting way far behind, so we're trying to consolidate some of those efforts, and we'll be doing that with a number of other bills as well. So this is the all-breed simulcasting proposal, and I appreciate your support. It passed overwhelmingly when we had it before us as a bill.
Senator Vickerman on the amendment.
Mr. President, this is a friendly amendment, something we worked out, and I'm trying to remember that when we built the racetracks, it was to help ag, and it certainly does. And so it's a friendly amendment I accept.
Okay. On the friendly amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Vickerman, did you say there are other amendments on this?
Mr. President, there's a couple more amendments. One is from, I'll go to Senator Dill. He can explain the chiropractic veterinary bill.
Secretary will report. Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to offer the A12 amendment.
Secretary will report the A12 Senator Dill amendment.
Senator Dill moves to amend Senate File 3683 as follows, page 17, line 15. This is Amendment A-12.
Say, I looked at that monument this morning.
Good.
Steps. Remember, you told me?
Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment I have before you is an agreement between the chiropractors and veterinary professions. It's been worked out by representatives of both professions and other legislators involved in this issue. I'm amending here a portion of Senator Vickerman's bill. It was originally chief authored by Senator Kubley and is still chief authored by him. And based on discussions I've had there, I know of no opposition. The bill already has a requirement in there that the chiropractors receive referrals from veterinarians before they work on the animal. In a nutshell, there's a requirement here that the chiropractors have 210 hours of training on animal chiropractics before they can work on animals, and that's already in the bill, and everybody agrees with that. And also the referral issue is already in the bill. The amendment before you states that as a board of chiropractics develops rules concerning this issue, they consult with the Board of Veterinary Medicine, and that the records and the work done by the chiropractor will be referred to the veterinarian or made available to the veterinarian, referring veterinarian, if the owner of the patient agrees with that. And that's really about it. It's an amendment, as I've mentioned, that has been worked on and is supported by all the competing interests. And I appreciate your support.
Further discussion on the Dill A-12 amendment, Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, this is a friendly amendment also. Senator Dill and Senator Kubley deserve a lot of credit for spending several hours trying to work out the compromise, and everybody's agreed to it. So, Senator Kubley, maybe you'd like to respond, just if you'd like to.
Senator Kubley, on the amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is, like Senator Dale indicated, an agreement between the Chiropractic Association and the Veterinarians Professional Association as well. I know that, some of you know that I was concerned about adding another layer of cost and maintaining consumer choice for animals that they owned, but this is an agreement that has worked out. I guess, Senator Dill, I hope that you will pass it on to your organization that, it is my intention on this language that it still gives control to the consumer in this practice, and that for the veterinarians involved, I would hope that if it's just a phone referral or something like that for an animal, that they know that there wouldn't be a charge or that the charge would be quite minimal. I know that you agreed with the statement that there were not very many vets in the state that had training in chiropractic, and including yourself, as I recall, but I suspect that there won't be too many vets out in the country where you and I live that get called on for that kind of a referral. It'll probably be primarily here in the city. But I think this is a good compromise, members, and I too would encourage your support.
We're voting on A-12 Dill Amendment. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, it seems like this is a pretty high standard for me for care of animals, and maybe Senator Dill can respond to this, but don't people have the right to go to a chiropractor without a referral from their medical doctor? But we would now be making the people with pets have to go to their veterinarian before they could go to the chiropractor? Isn't that the way it works now, that individual people can go without a referral? So I'm thinking that this might be a bit excessive.
Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, there's, I believe, around 15 states in the United States that allow chiropractors to work on animals if they've had additional training, and in most cases. and in each state except Oklahoma, a referral is required from a practicing veterinarian. The only exception is Oklahoma, and they also require a referral if the veterinarian doesn't, or if the chiropractor doesn't have any special training in veterinary work. And for those chiropractors, and I believe there's 21 in the state of Oklahoma that have this training, there's no veterinary referral required, but the veterinarian has to be involved if there's x-rays done or tranquilization is required to properly treat the animal.
Senator Coobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did want to add that in the state of Oklahoma that Senator Dill was talking about, there has never been an incident where the problems that the veterinarians raised in committees has been encountered, you know, and I don't think that's even been true in the states where there is a veterinarian's referral. You know, I guess that's still my preference, but I think this is an agreement, and I think we ought to go along with it, at least for now, Senator Roebling. So I would hope that you could see that an agreement that's been worked out between two conflicting groups is worth giving a try at any rate.
Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dill and Senator Coolby, I still think it just is excessive to have to go to the veterinarian first and make someone pay twice, because that's what we do. These are folks that are going to have some training in animal chiropractic, and I think we've lost sight of the fact that we're treating animals, not human beings. And as Senator Roebling said, we have a lower standard for humans than we're going to have for animals in this case, and that really doesn't make any sense. But I'm not going to try to amend it out, but I hope we revisit it in the future, because as we add open access to physical therapy for humans, we close off the access to chiropractic for animals. I think we have our priorities mixed up.
Okay, on the A-12 Dill Amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is not adopted. Want a division or something? Division's been asked for. All those in favor of the Dill A-12 Amendment, please stand.
No.
you may be seated. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion, I'd set a file 3683 as amended. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, there's one more amendment that's very important to this ag bill, and it has to do with bovine TB. If we don't control that, and if we don't stop that, that could be the end of the cattle industry in this state. That's as fast as this thing is moving. And so we were able to find money to try to stop it before it gets further down from the northern to the south. And you can say all you want, or you can shoot all the deer you want, but you're never going to get all the deer shot because they hide under trees and everything else. So we're looking at a different way of kind of doing some other things. So, Senator Scoy, you have an amendment, and it's a friendly amendment.
Senator Scoy, on your friendly amendment. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, the bovine tuberculosis provision that Senator Vickerman has in this Ag and Veterans Policy Omnibus Bill is a provision that allows the Board of Animal Health to split the state into two categories for accreditation for bovine TB. I would like to offer the 814 amendment, Mr. Chair.
On the A-14 amendment,
and
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Scoy moves to amend Senate File 3683 as follows, page 14, line 28. This is amendment A-14.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this amendment is mostly a technical amendment to bring the provision in line with the current progress of the discussions and the effort that we're making with the Board of Animal Health. It changes the number from for the split state to be no more than 325 from 300. 300 was too fine a line for us to hit as we were setting the boundaries. It inserts goats as one of the animals that we're going to be concerned about and a number of other technical provisions, and I would ask for your support.
Discussion on the A14 amendment. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report the Kubley A51 amendment.
Senator Kubley moves to amend Senate File 3683 as follows. Page 5, line 16, delete other laws and rules to the contrary, notwithstanding, etc. This is the A51 Kubley amendment.
Senator Kubley on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought this issue had already been taken care of. It was brought up by the Department of Transportation, and they were afraid that the words on line 16 on page 5, other laws and rules to the contrary notwithstanding, would make this entity that wanted this amendment free from other laws as well. And so, you know, they requested the removal of these words, and it's not a big thing. I think it's fairly technical, Mr. Chair, so I'd appreciate the members' vote on that.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I serve on the Ag and Veterans Committee. Once in a while on the floor, you just plain have to stand up and say something. And I want to compliment Senator Vickerman on the way he handles that committee. At no time does he have partisan politics take place. He recognizes everyone on the committee equally. He handles all of our bills with equal decorum. He handles the discussion very well, and I really appreciate serving under him on that committee. And this year, I think our whole body has to have one other special thank you too, and that's to Senator Scoey. Some of the stuff that he's doing with the bovine tuberculosis is not popular. It's not easy to say maybe we need to just plain kill off some herds of cattle, and we need to take out a few more deer because we have a problem. People don't like that. They don't want you to come on their land. They don't want you to touch their cattle, and I get that. I understand it. But we have a problem that's bigger than an individual. And so I want to personally recognize Senator Scoey for all of the hard work that he's done on the bovine TB, and I've been just passing his name on to my farmers to get a hold of him. It works pretty good that way. And so between him and Senator Vickerman, that is a most enjoyable committee to serve on. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to say something nice about Senator Vickerman. I spent, and a number of people spent many hours in meetings with Senator Vickerman working on the B20 mandate issue, and I'm pleased with some of the changes that have been incorporated in the bill that ensure that there will be an opportunity to look at some non-traditional crops for making biodiesel, and that the low carbon fuel standard is being studied at the university. And I think it's important to focus on the why biofuels are so important to our future in Minnesota. And I obviously they've been important because they help our farmers and they help our rural economy, but also we can't lose sight of the fact that we need biofuels to reduce our carbon emissions and improve the environmental impact of the fuels that we use. And so what the provisions in this bill help to make sure that we're moving in that same direction, that the use of biofuels in the future will be beneficial to our agricultural community and beneficial to our environmental future and energy independence.
Further discussion on Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Anderson, I appreciate your comments on the use of alternative fuels, but I do have some concerns about the schedule for the biofuel schedule. I know that it says that we do not have to use the blends in the cold weather months, But one of the things that happens on the farm, where a lot of biofuels are used for diesel tractors and bobcats, equipment such as that, is that you get a fuel tank and you have it filled up, and you have to obviously you'll be filling it up with the blend that is for the summer months if you get it filled in April, May, June, July, August. And if it isn't all gone, you have that blend in your tank for the winter work that you're doing. Granted, you're not doing as much field work then, but you're still maybe cleaning out the barn and using your bobcat quite a bit for snow removal or manure removal or whatever. And I'm just trying to figure out if how farmers are going to plan to empty that tank out and get a different supply in for the winter, or how that will work, because I know for a fact that some of these biofuel blends in the winter are plugging up engines. And I know that on our farm we've had some issues with this, and I am just wondering if this bill, how it's addressing that issue of those blends being used in the winter in particular, and how we can avoid those problems on the farm.
Okay, any further discussion on, are we on an amendment? Any further discussion on the bill as amended? Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, if there's no further discussion, I would move that Senate file, what was the file number?
3683
as amended. Be recommended to pass. And members, you have to look at this, the big picture here. We're taking one step forward, one step forward to get away from depending on Eastern oil. It's a slow step, but we're getting there. So remember that.
On the Vickerman motion, all those in favor signify. Senator Olsen, do you have a comment?
I do, actually. When I came into this session, I had some concerns with biodiesel also. I had just called on a number of my customers who run bus fleets, and they had four or five fleets that I deal with on a regular basis, and they had like 20, 30 buses that had froze up in January, and they showed me a filter where they took their finger in there and it was all waxed up. So I actually saved that filter, and I saved some fuel from those their tanks. And we had them analyzed, and it turned out that it wasn't the biodiesel blend in the fuel. It was the high water content. But meeting with this fuel expert, he was explaining that as we've gone to this low carbon emission fuel, that or low sulfur fuel, that the rules have kind of changed. It's not like diesel fuel, you could almost burn anything. And the filters now have gotten so fine that the microns are so, the filtering ability is so small that it's, I think one of the things they're talking about is that we need to maybe educate the people, that the farmers and the truck drivers, more about the new low sulfur fuel. So I'm pleased with where this bill is going. I've changed my mind on that. Because I was coming into this looking at, we shouldn't even have a biodiesel blend in the wintertime, and I don't think that's the problem. I think it's just educating people that use diesel fuel to use it more properly, especially with this low sulfur fuel. Thank you.
Chair Vickerman renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3683 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill, Senator Pappas within hearing distance. Senator Rest, are you ready? The next bill on the general orders, we'll skip over number 51 at this time, will be number 58 on general orders. This is House File 2904, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House File 2904 is the companion to Senate File 2607, which sets up a framework in the state agencies to be able to act quickly when Minnesota is faced with a natural disaster, and that natural disaster is accompanied by a federal declaration that the president issues, declaring so many counties eligible for federal assistance, et cetera. And we're familiar with that in some of the disasters that we had in southeastern Minnesota and also in northwestern Minnesota some years ago. Representative Pawlowski, in particular, worked with the state agencies and the governor's office to come up with a regularized framework for the response by those state agencies. There's no money in the bill. There is just a pattern of being able to respond. And so each state agency would know exactly what its jurisdiction was, who it was responsible to and for, and to be able to act in an emergency situation. Yes. So I would appreciate your support.
Senator Rest, you have a motion to make when this committee do arise?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 2904 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the bill. On the Senator Rest motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Rest, would you like to chair the committee for a couple of bills here? I'll appoint Senator Rest to chair the committee of the whole for a couple of bills. I don't know where Pappas is. I think maybe you got to go to Tomasoni, I guess.
Senator Tomasoni, are you ready? The next bill on the general orders calendar is number 52, House File 3569, Senate File 3300. Chair recognizes, House File 3569, companion to Senate File 3300. Chair recognizes Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 3569 be recommended to pass.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, as many of you know, the mesothelioma disease is an insidious disease that has caused cancer to many of the miners on the Iron Range, and the cause is known to be asbestos, but where it's exactly coming from and why it's occurring in such high rates on the Iron Range is yet to be figured out. The disease itself takes 30, sometimes 15 to 30 years to manifest itself, even after people have been exposed to it. And you may have heard that recently 58 deaths have been associated with the disease, and it's something that we need to get a handle on, and we need to start taking care of and find out what's causing it, where it's coming from, and so our miners can go to work and work in a safe environment. It's been around 30 years that this has been going on, and we've had some studies. The studies were never completed, and it's time that we get these studies completed, and that's what this House file does. The University of Minnesota, along with the IRRB, has assembled a team of scientists and their medical experts from the University of Minnesota that will direct the study. And with the assistance of the Minnesota Department of Health and Natural Resources, the Pollution Control Agency, and the Natural Resources Research Institute, a national independent peer review team has been established to oversee the work being done. And the study will do seven things. It will develop and recommend strategies to minimize worker exposure to taconite dust, offer advice to individuals who have symptoms of or have been diagnosed with lung disease regarding what they can and should do to protect their health, 3, analyze dust and iron ore samples from mines and plants throughout the Iron Range to determine the level of harmful particles present. 4, analyze data collected on particulate matter in the environment of communities throughout the Iron Range. 5, learn what we can about the 58 deaths attributed to the mesothelioma. 6, review the death certificates of the mine workers. And 7, conduct a respiratory health assessment of active and retired miners. The study is estimated to cost $4.9 million, plus an additional $250,000 that has already been contributed by the IRRRB. It'll be spent in this manner. In year one, $2.143 million will be spent on for a cohort of miners and spouses of over 70,000, and former and current taconite workers and their spouses will be identified. A study of exposure to silica, asbestos, and iron ore dust will be completed. The medical records of 58 confirmed deaths will be examined, and they will develop protocols for and complete health screenings for the cohort of the current and former taconite workers and spouses. In year two, $1.158 million will be for a comprehensive study of death certificates of taconite workers, types and quantities of exposures at various locations in the mine, and taconite processing plants will be established. In year three, there will be $858,000 for a final statistical analysis, and in year four, the NRRI will spend $800,000 testing for the presence of dust throughout the communities. Members, I think that everybody is in agreement that this study needs to be done, and I think that everybody knows that some way, somehow, we have to get to the bottom of this. And so the only thing that has popped up as being maybe somewhat of a controversy is the funding source. And what has gone on the last few days is with some discussions with the governor's office. We have contended that the workers' comp special fund is exactly the right spot to fund this from. And I've had some discussions with the governor. He's more comfortable with the assigned risk fund. I'm fairly certain that the workers' comp special fund won't need to be reassessed as a result of this. I'm going to offer an amendment that will alleviate any fears of the governor and to go to the assigned risk plan as opposed to the workers' comp special fund. And that way, they even have some calculations saying that this amount of money coming out of the assigned risk plan won't cause any new assessments and therefore not cause any harm to any businesses. So with that, Madam Chair, I have the A53 amendment.
Secretary will report the A53 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend House File 3569 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 16th as follows. Page 1, delete lines 7 to 10 and insert. This is Amendment A53.
Chair recognizes Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, what this amendment does is it instead of taking money out of the workers' comp special fund, this takes the money out of the workers' comp assigned risk plan, and as we talked about with the governor, and then appropriates it to the general fund so it can be sent over to the University of Minnesota. And so I'd appreciate your support.
Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And would Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Roebling.
Senator Tomasoni, I'm wondering about, is this a reserve fund that we're able to use, and what is the reserve amount in the fund? And you mentioned, I think, that you didn't expect premiums to increase on businesses if we use this fund. Is that correct? But what is the amount in the fund right now?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, my understanding is that there's over $41 million in the fund. With my discussions with the governor's office, they calculated that this amount would not result in any kind of an increase. The fund itself has been used in the past for transfers over to the workers' comp special fund, and the special fund has been used to fund the general fund, and so the fund itself actually has had three transfers over to one to the general fund and one to the special special workers' comp fund, which would then transfer over $265 million to the general fund to help settle the deficit in 2003. So the issue here is that the governor's office is concerned that if we use the workers' comp special fund, that it could result in an increase in premiums. My understanding is that they're very comfortable that if we use the assigned risk plan, as is in this fund, that there won't be any assessments and it should be able to handle it.
Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomasoni yield for a question?
He yields. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, you made mention that you've had discussions with the governor's office regarding this fund. Does the governor's office endorse this plan?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, you mean using the $4.9 million for funding the study or for the study itself?
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, you made mention that the worker compensation fund could be used, that you've had discussions with the governor's office regarding that particular fund as the source for that fund. And does the governor's office agree with you? You stated you've had discussions, but I wanted to know, have they bought into this strategy to use this fund for that purpose?
Madam Chair and Senator Limmer.
Senator Tomasoni.
The issue before you is the current bill has $4.9 million coming out of the Workers' Comp Special Fund. The governor's office wasn't comfortable with that source of funding. They are comfortable with the source of funding from the assigned risk plan, as indicated in the amendment.
Senator Limmer. Okay. Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Will Senator Tomasoni yield, please?
Senator Tomasoni, would you yield? He does.
Thank
Senator
you.
Rosen.
Senator, could you please go through that breakdown of the $4.9 million again, please?
Senator Tomasoni.
I apologize, Madam Chair and Senator Rosen. Would you repeat the question, please?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you please go through the breakdown of the $4.9 million?
You mean
what is being appropriated
for? You mean what I just did 5 minutes ago?
Madam Chair, Senator Tomasoni, you went through that fairly quickly, $4.9
million. I'll do it again.
Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Rosen, $250,000 has already been appropriated by the IRRRB to jumpstart the funding. Then out of the $4.9 million in year one, $2.143 million will be used for a cohort of minors and spouses of 70,000 current and former taconite workers and their spouses, and they'll be identified. There will be a study of the exposure to silica, asbestos, iron ore dust will be completed. Medical records of 58 confirmed deaths will be examined, and they'll develop protocols for and complete health screenings for the cohort of current and former taconite workers and spouses. In year two, there will be $1.158 million for a comprehensive study of death certificates of taconite workers, types and quantities of exposures at various locations in the mines, and taconite processing plants will be established. In year three, $858,000 will be used for a final statistical analysis that will be completed. And in year four, $800,000 will be used by the NRRI for testing of the presence of dust throughout communities near the taconite mines.
Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Roebling.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I originally was working in opposition of the Workers' Comp Special Fund because I had concerns that eventually it would push up the premiums for our employers across the state. I understand that the reserve in this fund is larger than the Special Fund. I still somewhat question the wisdom of taking it from a statewide Workers' Comp Fund when it's so specific to one industry. But I am hopeful that we are not going to do anything else that will push up workers' comp rates. And if that is the case and we are not increasing premiums with this amendment, I do think the study is important. But I am hoping that we are not going to have any other legislation in the near future that is going to drive rates up that could end up because of a subtraction of almost $5 million from this fund, cause a deficit that would require a rate increase. And so I guess I did have several other amendments for this bill, Senator Tomasoni, but if this one's been worked out, I'll take it.
Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? There being no further discussion, all those in favor of the Tomasoni motion to adopt the A53 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on House File 3569? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I do have an amendment and it hasn't shown up to the desk. And we ordered it a half an hour ago. What should I do?
Senator Rosen, I understand that it's still going to be a while before we get that amendment. Are there other amendments to House File 3569? Senator Tomasoni, would you be willing to progress your bill until Senator Rosen's amendment comes?
Let's see. How does this work? Yeah, I'll progress the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The next bill on general orders. Next bill on the general orders calendar is number 51, Senate File 2942. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2942 be recommended to pass.
Senator Pappas moves that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2942 be recommended to pass. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the Omnibus Higher Education Policy Bill, which last week, I believe it was, we passed on general orders. I pulled it back off the calendar because we thought we might have some issues with it. It appears to be okay, so I think we're ready to vote.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2942? Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have the A9 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Lynch moves to amend Senate File 2942 as follows. Page 12 after line 24, insert. This is Amendment A-9.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment reflects an agreement between a variety of stakeholders regarding the development of a mid-level dental practitioner program. And I am pleased to say that the Dental Association, the Minsky Institution, and the University of Minnesota, together with many other stakeholders, have come together in recognition of the critical need that our state and, in fact, this country faces with regard to oral health care. And this is the first step in enabling Minnesota to lead the way and move forward in this regard.
Is there further discussion on the A9 amendment? Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Lynch, as you well know, I have been adamantly opposed to this provision going in any bill, and I've been quite vocal about it in committees and stuff like that, but I really appreciate the way you seem to have worked this out with all of the groups and stuff like that, and I'm going to support your amendment, and thanks for your efforts to make it way better than it was.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is kind of a historic cooperation between Minsky and the university to really work together to serve the needs of the underserved dental population in low-income areas. And I think it's going to be really important in terms of public health that we move forward with this amendment. So I support the amendment.
Is there further discussion on the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A9 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on Senate File 2942? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Pappas that Senate File 2942 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the bill is passed. Senator Tomasoni, we will revert to House File 3569. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I was going to offer an amendment to deal with the study because may we revert back to this Senate File 33-0-100?
Senator Rosen, we are
on that. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Tomasoni's bill, House File. Senator Tomasoni, excuse me, Senator Rosen. Senator Tomasoni, you need to make your motion again.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion on House File 3569 that when this committee do arise, that House File 3569 be recommended to pass.
Senator Tomasoni moves that when this committee do arise, that House File 3569 be recommended to pass. Discussion on the bill. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, and I discussed this amendment with Senator Tomasoni, and I apologize, Senator, I didn't have a chance to talk to you about it beforehand. But after further reviewing this study that you say everybody agrees upon, I actually questioned the study, whether we need it. There is quite a bit of information out there about mesothelioma. It's been around forever. And in fact, my father died from the disease 15 years ago. He was an asbestos worker, a pipe fitter, industrial insulator, whatever, worked with it for 35, 40 years. And succumbed to the disease, hit his stomach, actually. In fact, mesothelioma hits three spots in your body. The most common is the lungs, the second is the stomach, and the third is the brain. The brain is very rare, but it does occur. And unfortunately, when you do find the symptoms, it's pretty dire. There is not much you can do. So they have been studying this disease for a very, very long time. I was flying back from a trip from Florida, and I was sitting next to this gentleman who had just came back from his mother's funeral in North Carolina. Now, the woman died, and she was about 80 years old, and she died from mesothelioma. And I said, my word, where'd she get that? They cannot figure out how she got it, except that she dealt with tiling the roof. She lived on the farm that she was born and raised, and that's where she died. So we do have a health crisis coming down the pipeline, but we do have a lot of information out there about mesothelioma and about the prevention that we have to take to deal with this disease. My amendment just said, let's look at what information we have out there already before we spend the $5 million. I'm certainly not opposed to spending more money for the victims that are left behind of the workers. I mean, this is very tragic because, for the most part, these companies that you want to sue or get some kind of settlement from, they go bankrupt. And it's a very sad, tragic story for the families that are left behind, the widows. My mother was one of them. So that was basically my amendment. I will withdraw, since my amendment's not here anyway. But I just want to say that I hope that we take. I hope the University of Minnesota works with the Mayo Clinic. I know they've done a tremendous amount of work in this area, and I hope they work across the borders to other universities that have done a tremendous amount of research. My father was at many of these facilities or institutions, too, for a second opinion. And I hope that we can do something for the victims. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. Is there further discussion on House File 3569? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Tomasoni that House File 3569 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. Senator Clark or Senator Betzold?
Madam Chair, I move the committee to now rise and report.
Senator Betzold has moved that the committee do now arise and report. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
Madam,
the motion prevails. The Senate will come to order.
Madam President,
I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
Senator Pogamiller has moved that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be adopted. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller.
Madam President, is there any work at the desk? Okay.
Senator Pogamiller, there is no work at the desk, but we're informed that we are waiting for a bill that is from the House that under discussion.
We're going to recess to the call of the chair for just to process some reports from the House. And the intent, members, would be to come back at Monday at 2 o'clock. Monday at 2 o'clock.
Senator Pogamiller, would you be wanting to appoint any conferees today? Senator Pogamiller.
So, Madam President, we will recess to the call of the chair. When we do come back, it'll be to appoint a couple conference committees and to, we're waiting for the bovine TB bill from the House, and so we'd process that. And then for general information, we will come back as a full Senate on Monday at 2 o'clock.
Before we take the motion for the recess, are there announcements? Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I just want to remind members of the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division that our division is meeting at 1:30 in room 107 today. We'll have an informational hearing only, and I'm hoping we can finish it in about an hour and a half. So I'd really like members to be there.
Senator Latz.
Thank you, members. I have the honor to announce that there are students here at the Capitol today that excel to an exceptional level of scientific research. They are here from all parts of the state, representing 438 participants of the recently held Minnesota State Science Fair held in St. Paul. The State Science Fair is held by the Minnesota Academy of Sciences, which is based in St. Louis Park, my district. To get to this level of competition, they were first judged by professional scientists and advanced from their schools and then 9 regional science fairs. Some of these young people will go on to comprise the 55 members of Team Minnesota and compete at the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair held in Atlanta, Georgia, May 10 to the 17th. Today, they have brought with them their research projects and will have them on display down in the Great Hall until 3 p.m. They invite you to visit with them and to share their scientific efforts. I hope you have a chance to stop by. Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
To the members of the Senate Higher Ed Working Group, will meet in my office at 1:30.
Are there further announcements? Seeing none, Senator Pogamiller moves a recess of the Senate to the call of the chair. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.